Well, let's gather then, and let's look at our sermon text this morning. Our first reading for this morning's sermon comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. And I would ask that if you are able to please join me, Ephesians chapter 1, that's on page 814 of the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 is verses 15 through 21. This is actually an entire sentence, and this is all about our spiritual wisdom that is sought in prayer. Starting with verse 15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." For which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And our second reading this morning comes to us from Colossians chapter 3. And if you'd like to turn there, you can find that on page 820 in your Pew Bible. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There is our reading of the Lord's holy word this morning. Daniel, thank you. I hope we are working, so I appreciate that. My friends and my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a pleasure to be able to bring to you the word this morning. I have labored and I have enjoyed every minute of its preparation. I hope you will enjoy this sermon as well this morning and that it will bring you the encouragement that it has brought to me. I begin this morning by bringing to you a place called Uneeda, Utah. It's right next to La Pointe, Utah. I'm certain that hasn't helped a single one of you figure out where I'm talking about. It is the northeastern quadrant of Utah, and NASA was called in. NASA was called in because there is a 161-acre parcel that was being considered for purchase. And yet, without water, it was nothing but barren wasteland. NASA was brought in to use their deep scanning sonar, and they found a 2.5-mile-long aquifer deep underground. And upon finding this, this ranch was purchased. The owners began digging down through a fault line to try to reach the aquifer. And they finally broke in, and what they found was an enormous underground cavern that was filled with thousands upon thousands of frogs. The farmer said that these frogs were completely and totally blind. He could literally touch them on the nose before they would jump. It was so unusual that this place is now known as the Blind Frog Ranch. 3 days after this initial discovery, this farmer brought the news team with him. And they returned deep into this cavern to find that it was empty, completely void of the frogs. They were all gone. And the reporter asked the farmer where he thought the frogs had gone. And this is his response. When they finally saw the light, they knew how to escape the darkness. And they left. They were finally free. I'd like to take this moment to reintroduce you to our Savior, Jesus Christ, that said, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That comes to us from John chapter 8. While you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. That is John chapter 12. I think it's impressive that the fourth verse of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The word light and life are synonyms for each other when referring to grace and to faith. And the word light, it occurs 272 times in the Bible. I find that interesting. And then my mind continued to roll. I found that the word death occurs 154 times in the scriptures. Clearly, the desire to see one come to light and to live a life in Christ is significant. But death is a reality too. And spiritual, both spiritual and physical death, are something that we will all experience, if not both, at least once. Outside of Christ, we are separated from the light. We are in utter darkness. And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life of this world. We will be spared the ultimate death, my friends. We will not live separated from the love of God because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For me, this morning, I, of course, look at all the miracles. I am personally always, I would say, encouraged because of the miracle that Jesus performed in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 finds a begging man crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they tried to silence this man, and what did he do? He yelled even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus approached this man and he said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me have my sight." In other words, "Lord, restore light to my eyes." And Jesus did that. What makes this a beautiful miracle for me that I share with you this morning is this. And I'll ask you a question. For my young friends, what do you suppose the first thing that this blind begging man saw when his light of his eyes was restored? He was free to look upon his Savior's face. And this gracious, merciful, compassionate, comforting, restoring, and caring Savior was seen by this man face to face. Sight was given as a free gift to this man, to this beggar. Just as you and I have been given the gift of faith through grace. Acceptance of that gift is what makes you a child of God. And you were once blind, but now you see. It is through God's mercy and grace in the person of Jesus Christ that you are set free, professing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and knowing that Jesus is how you escaped from darkness should leave us thankful. More so, it should make us grateful. I'd ask this morning that you think on these three things through your day today. Number one, apart from grace, you cannot know God. You are blind. You cannot see. You are condemned to darkness. You are referred to as dark. Your mind and your heart are wicked. And you cannot know the one that says, "Let there be light," without the grace extended to you in faith. Apart from grace, you cannot understand God. For my young friends this morning, you understand who God is, even at your young age, because your parents love you and they share the good news with you. I'll remind my other friends and my young ones that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And some of us, I am thankful to tell you that I was raised in a godly home. So perhaps we don't have that moment framed in our minds when we were called to faith. I must share with you this morning that it is not hard for me to imagine the man that I would be outside of it. I'm afraid that the dark would totally engulf me. My friends, the third thing to consider this morning is this, that apart from grace, you have no relationship with God. God will not sit with the unrighteous. By grace, you have been saved. And you have been made alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive together with Christ. And he has raised us up together, and he has made it possible so that we will sit together in the heavenly places. And with that word, let me remind you that you are no longer strangers and you are no longer foreigners. You are now citizens, fellow citizens, and members of the household of grace. I want to urge you this morning to once again understand your blessing. We don't think of it often enough, I'm afraid. I know I haven't. With grace, you know God. You are free to confide in God. With grace, you understand his word. It is your refuge at all times. By grace, your relationship with God has no limits. There are no secrets. He knew you as you were being formed within the womb. You have a full relationship. That should bring to each of us an assurance, peace, and blessing. Thanksgiving and the word itself, thanksgiving is often said to be an emotional reply. What we are thankful for. Whereas gratefulness results in thankfulness and an action. Gratefulness is thanks in motion. True faith, my friends, means that our hearts have been changed, and a changed heart is demonstrated in our action. With the freedom from darkness that we enjoy in Jesus, my friends, I think that we should find ourselves to be some of the most grateful people on earth. We should be forever ready to show an appreciation to God, and we should show the seeds of his word liberally. We should be free and therefore share our freedom in Jesus Christ. We do not know this day whom the Lord has chosen and whom he might be calling. We have been made free from the darkness because of God's enduring love. My friends, my young ones, we should be willing to share the escape plan with our friends. Many of you do not know this, and I did ask my wife for her permission before I shared this. Sharon's entire family home was lost in a raging fire when she was 18. And a close family friend was lost in the fire Sharon escaped that fire when she found the hand of her sister, Suzanne. And they went into their little sister's bedroom and they grabbed Kristen by the hand. And in the utter darkness and the chaos of a house fire, they made their way out because they knew the path in their home. Sharon shares periodically. She still remembers the smell of the smoke. Do you know the path that you walk upon this morning? Do you remember, and may I remind you, that the Lord's word is a lamp unto your feet? And the Lord Jesus Christ himself leads us through this life and will be the one that escorts us into the heavenly places. I would suggest to you that gratitude should distinguish the Christian life. And an application of this thanksgiving should be heard within our prayers. Our prayers should reflect the gratefulness that we have. When you pray, let me ask this morning, do you find peace as you pray? Do you find joy in your time of prayer? Do you find that you become confident as you approach the throne of grace in prayer? Are you filled with gratitude as you recall the things that you have and that you have been blessed with? Not simply monetary items, but the confidence that you have in your soul. Are you mindful that your prayers are heard because you are numbered amongst the faithful and the chosen ones of God? Perhaps, my friends, this morning you are uncertain of this. Perhaps this morning you have yet to place your trust in Christ Jesus. Perhaps then this is the day that the Lord has made this provision for you. And this is the day, perhaps, that you are being given the invitation to leave the darkness. You're being invited into the house of faith, of hope, of peace, of light, of joy, and of believing. Is this your day? Is this the day that you are being reminded of this blessing? My friends, Jesus himself died in order that he might be our mediator and our intercessor, securing our place in heaven. And he is assuring you that the pleas of your heart and the joys of your thanksgiving are heard. And the Lord is faithful to answer. The prayers of the righteous, my friends, accomplish much, and we are cloaked in his righteousness because Christ remembers us. And my dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you joining by Zoom this morning, pray in spite of difficulty. Pray in spite of difficulties. Pray to God with a grateful heart, especially when it's hard. We're promised to be given grace and assurance as our gift. It is another gift. With all that the world is facing, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the depression, the fear, the calamity, death, how amazing is it that the Lord who made the heavens and the earth offers you assurance? I know that I hope that these sound like nice and encouraging words. Know this, they are not mine. They come directly from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. My friends, we are told to let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence and with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I do not know all that you are going through. I know some. Let me say that you also do not know all that troubles and confronts me. We each struggle with sin. And we each toil through this life. But I do know this. You have an audience with God. It was won for you by Jesus. You are to set your concerns before the mercy seat. And you should allow the Holy Spirit to speak for you when groanings are too deep for words. And my friends, when praying in your sorrow or your grief, when praying in the midst of your trials and your tribulations, a moment will occur when the mere fact that you are free to pray with the expectation of answer will grab you. It should shake you. It should fill your heart with gratitude. Because in those moments of prayer, you are expressing your faith in God. Trust Him. He will fill your mind. I am again reminded of my own forgiveness of sin, and it assures me that my soul is safe in Christ. And that in spite of my weakness, and that in spite of my sin, I am loved. Brothers and sisters, Ryan refers to us as saints, which I love. You are children of God. You should be filled with gratitude, too. Your grateful heart and your thankfulness will overflow to all those that are around you, both the saved and the unsaved. You are salt and life, light. Your life in Jesus Christ is attractive to others. But I also must bring to you this morning the warnings. And though we are free, we have a great enemy. For my young friends this morning, I need to make sure that you're hearing me and listening closely. We have a great enemy. We know him as the devil. He is the purveyor of lies. And my young ones, the word purveyor, that is a person that deals in goods and services. He lies about the goods and the services that he offers. He's also referred to as the prince of darkness. He doesn't want to lose a single soul. And let me remind you that he sifted Peter the apostle like wheat. Peter, the one that had a personal relationship with Jesus, the one that walked with the Lord himself, was sifted as wheat. Satan, my friends, is a powerful enemy. He is a professional gaslighter. Gaslighting. My younger friends are well acquainted with the term, gaslighting. May not know that it actually comes from the 1930s, when a gaslight would begin to flicker and prepare to go out. Today it is used as a term that explains a form of manipulation that occurs in abusive relationships. Gaslighting is a covert form of emotional abuse where someone attempts to take truth, they make you question it, they leave you feeling as if the truth you thought you knew is false. It's a technique that undermines a person's perception of reality. It blinds one to truth while another promotes lies. The abuser discredits you. They minimize you. And it leaves you vulnerable and insecure. How about this as an example of a gaslighting? As Satan approached Eve and said, "Hath God said?" Or what about when Satan tempted Jesus? The purveyor of lies tempted Jesus by saying, "Cast yourself down and God's angels will lift you up." Or what about the ultimate temptation of Christ at the end? "Bow down and worship me and I will give you the earth." He's speaking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. The purveyor of lies. His name speaks for itself. Satan means adversary. The name indicates that Satan's basic nature is to be the enemy of God and of all of God does and that all of God loves. He's known as the devil, which the word itself means a false accuser or a slanderer. He is also known and referred to as the roaring lion, the one that looks for one to devour, or the savage wolf, hidden to attack the unsuspecting, the great dragon and the serpent of old. It's referring to the one that tempted Eve. What about the angel from the bottomless pit? How about him being known as the destroyer, Beelzebub, the ruler of demons? What about the father of lies or the power of darkness? How about the ruler of this fallen world? The son of perdition. That is a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unrepentant person passes after death. He's known as a tempter, a thief, and the wicked one. My friends, are you ready to battle this enemy? Are you prepared? If you have not read of the armor of God, let me encourage you to do this again today. Ephesians chapter 6, I trust, will bring to you much encouragement as you wear and put upon yourself the armor of God. With an enemy like this, let me ask, is it hard to believe that those that love the Lord often have lives that are riddled and harmed and damaged? We are engaged in a daily spiritual warfare. We all have wounds. Was this life, was the one that you and I are living today, was it ever promised to be one of simple pleasures? We have been saved by grace, but we still have a walk in front of us. And our King, our Lord Jesus, He has His own list of names. And I have to say this morning, they are far more worthy to be read aloud. The Old Testament refers to God Himself as the all-powerful Creator, the self-revealing One, the owner of all, the Lord who provides, the Almighty Sufficient One, the Most High Ruler, the Lord of Peace, the Maker of heaven and earth. My friends, the spacious heavens declare His handiwork. And in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as our Savior, the Redeemer, the Bread of Life, the Creator, the Holy One of Israel. He is our wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is known as the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the High Priest, our Teacher. He is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Hearing these two lists, who would you rather place your trust in? And whom would you rather entrust your soul to? To whom would you prefer to seek in your time of need? I think it's self-evident. As believers know this, rejecting Satan's temptations makes you more prepared for ministry because you understand and realize your need for God's grace. Your thankful and grateful reliance will be a portion of your life, and it will be seen in your prayer life as well. But my friends, let me warn you also this morning that you will notice when God's presence in your life is missing. The first sign of God's absence is restlessness. Cain is where this example comes from in Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. After killing Abel, God says to Cain, "You will be a restless wanderer on this earth for the remainder of your days. There will be no place for you to find peace." What a curse. What a curse that fallen man must contend with, to never find peace and to never find a place to rest. And should we be surprised to hear person upon person utter very familiar phrases like this, "I am so tired." Or perhaps someone you've heard has said, "I just can't seem to catch a break." Or perhaps you've heard this one, "I'll rest when I'm dead." Those that are captive to sin are serving a master that remains ever restless, who is at war. And if you serve him, it leaves but one result, which is fatigue. I do not intend to imply that there is no joy in an unbeliever's life. I am not saying that. I am not inferring that a life lived outside of Christ can't be productive or satisfying. I'm pointing out that that life will be brief. And when it ends in death, like all of ours, they will be swallowed up into utter darkness and an eternity of restlessness. Would you be willing to share the gospel to save your friends, your family, and your loved ones from this condemnation? The Lord will fill your mouth. Open it and share the word. Hear the promise and offer it to those that live outside of Christ. And for those of you that live with Christ, let me remind you of your grace. Mark chapter 2, the Lord made the Sabbath day for man so that he might rest from his labor. These words were spoken by Jesus himself. And after he spoke these words, he went into the synagogue and he heals a man with a crippled hand. He says, outstretch your hand. The Pharisees were there to see that miracle happen. Did they praise him? No. Did they rest in the assurance that God and his goodness was on display? No. The Pharisees became restless. They would not believe. They left and they began plotting to kill him. If you find yourself restless, let me encourage you in this morning to once again claim the gift that has been given freely to you in Jesus Christ. God says, Jesus pronounced this, come to me all who are heavy laden. You know how this passage goes. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit. And you will find rest for your souls. Comes to us from Matthew chapter 11. Perhaps this morning you feel distant from God. Perhaps you know that you have been careless in your walk. Perhaps you are more resistant than distant. And you're simply in a bad season of life. Trust me. Satan knows this too, and he will rush in. And he will offer you momentary distractions that will fill your immediate need or your immediate desire. Ultimately, my friends, that will leave you even feeling further from God. My friends, if you are struggling this morning, I must challenge you. Are you knowingly ignoring the quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit? I'm not sharing this with you as some sort of a hypothesis, and I am not trying to guilt you and drive you into some kind of an agreement or acknowledgement. I am not. I am sharing this with you this morning as my own personal challenge. I myself, too, face this challenge, and I am thankful that the Lord has always chosen to call me back to himself. The situations that I have been faced with were powerful enough to crush my faith. And instead, God used them to restore my soul, to renew my faith, to strengthen my walk. And he has shown me that his grace is sufficient. And whatever the circumstances that you face, as real and as trying and as difficult as they are, my friends, his love and his care is sufficient. I should not come as a surprise, but I'm going to say it anyway. Elders and pastors and committed Christians still fall. We still sin. That sin robs us and steals from us our close communion with Christ. And if you're going through this right now, let me encourage you with the words from Psalm 83. and cry out as the psalmist did. Lord, do not be silent. Do not be unresponding. Do not remain at rest. Free me from my guilt and from my affliction. My friends, go back to the scriptures if you're struggling. You'll likely begin reading, and I know how it goes. You'll begin reading with worry. You'll begin reading with sorrow. You'll begin reading with fear. Because you know it's been too long since you've placed any significant time in reading of the Word. As you begin, my trust is that that is not how you will end. Because as you will end in relief. That the Lord has heard your prayer, that He is faithful to answer, that He will tend to your wounds. And how do I know this? Because I cannot be wrong when I use Scripture to reinforce Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and He is abounding in love. Deuteronomy chapter 30. When you return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all of your heart and all of your soul, then the Lord will restore you and will have compassion upon you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider now how far you have fallen. Repent and return to me. I would hope and I would trust that this morning that you might find yourselves encouraged as you're reminded of the inheritance we have in Christ Jesus through grace. My friends, this is not a sermon that is engaging you and telling you to just pull up your bootstraps and let's get to work. This is not a process that you control. This morning, you have heard the promises of God. By starting in Genesis, where we've heard, let there be light, I have taken you through the Old Testament to the New Testament to hear the voice of our Savior Jesus Christ say that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I want to assure you that the Scripture does not simply speak empty words. They fill your heart, they fill your soul, they fill your mind. Grasp them. And for those outside of Christ, perhaps that are hearing the call this morning, this gift has been offered to you today. Will you answer and will you receive this free gift today? We are living in Christ. We have work to do. If you have been distant or you have been careless with your faith, you have heard the words of encouragement to return. If you are heavy laden this morning and you are burdened this morning, you now know that you can lay your heavy load before the throne of grace today. And His answer will come. It may not be what you want, but it will be a God-ordained answer. You, Christian, we are known as salt and light, even with our faults and with our cracks and with our sins. God has decreed that He will use us. The work of His hands will be used within us to spread the gospel and the good news of grace and peace in Christ Jesus. Have you laid claim to that promise? The path of the righteous, my friends, is like the shining and the dawning of a new day that will grow even brighter until it is perfect. My friends, we have been pulled from the pit of despair and from the miry clay. He, the Lord Jesus Himself, has set your feet upon a rock. God the Father has established your steps. He has forgiven you of your sins, and He calls you by name. And the Holy Spirit has placed a new song in your mouth so that you might give praise and ultimately The Lord Jesus Christ has freed us from the darkness, and he is escorting us into his perfect light. Death will catch each of us. Here is the ultimate promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The promise of God, my friends, has been given to you this morning, and he is faithful. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded in this day that indeed you are light. Father, in this day, allow us to once again find not only thanksgiving, but for gratefulness. Lord, that you have chosen us by name and that you have lifted us up from the darkness, from the pit and from the miry clay. Lord, that we now walk with you and beside you, and Holy Spirit, that you dwell within us. What a blessing that we have, Father. Lord, please do not ever allow us. Do not allow the light of salvation within us to grow dim. Do not allow us to fall prey to the evil one. Father, that we might know the truth of the scripture, that we would cling to it. Father, that we would be brave in expressing not only our love, but in expressing the saving grace of Christ to our friends. Father, we are weak vessels. We are broken. We are cracked. And yet you choose to use us. Father, some of our cracks in this day are deep. And we are harmed and we are injured and we are sad and we are mournful. Lord, would you restore to us joy and peace, assurance that we are loved. Lord God, would you please give to us rest? Father, we are concerned this morning for the many that are challenged this day with health. Lord God, we ask that you would restore them, that you would bring to them comfort, quick recovery. Lord, that you would spare us from death. Father, that you would lift this plague from our world and from our land. Lord, we are thankful for the time that we have been able to spend together, even distanced, because of the technology that makes this possible this morning. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you use the words that were preached this day? Would you use it to strengthen us? Lord, would you use it to encourage us? Would you remind us of the great blessing of grace that we have received that has brought us to faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whom we do pray. Amen.